I was here in the city's community development director, wonderful turnout for a meet and greet, which is not your formal first meeting, but it was an opportunity for us to get the project kickstarted. We had the consulting team out here. We're very happy to finally get this project going, and we were tied up in procurement for a very long time with the state. We'll not rehash that pain at this point in time, but we are now free to move forward with the project. And really quickly, maybe we'll just go around the room just to introductions. Again, Derek Tokos, City of Newport.
Jim Henke with David Evans and Associates, and I'm going to be the consultant team project manager. There's a few experts from our team here who I'll let introduce themselves to you, but we're really thrilled and excited about this project. Complicated and challenging, absolutely, but this team of experts is going to help you, because it's your plan that we want to help craft. You know, look at it through the lenses of transportation, land use, urban design, real estate, market economics. It's pretty complex, but this team's got all of those specialties covered. So thanks for having us here. And
real quick, before we move to the committee members, I almost blew the first agenda item. Is for those that are on the committee, if as part of your introduction, can you share with the group your interest in serving and key desired outcomes from this process as you understand it now?
Lori Sanders, and I represent the general public. I guess I'm here because I love Newport, lived here a long time. I want what happens to serve our community, our general community. I want it to be beautiful and address the traffic issues and the people that live here, serve the people that live here.
Rich Maloney, school district, and I was on the traffic. What was the last committee?
Transportation system plan, yes. Yeah.
So I'm here just to kind of follow up.
My name is David Hilton. I'm with the Transportation Growth Management Program at the Oregon Department of Transportation, and our program is providing the grant for the project.
Luke Simonson, Beer One Brewing, and I want walkability and traffic as well. But and what she said, like, it wanted to look nice as well.
Christina Simonson, also Beer One Brewing. We're kind of a tag team. But we live and obviously run a business in this specific area and, you know, want functionality and obviously a nice community that is good for business and for living in. And so we're happy to have input. So.
Melanie Heim for Security Bank, and I am in agreement. This is why I'm here too, to really help our city, you know, working downtown as I do, or uptown as you want to call it. Should be called. That's really a big important factor for all of us, I feel like, as well.
Karen Rockwell, Executive Director of the Housing Authority of Lincoln County. I'm here because Derek holds really good committee meetings. Just kidding. I mean, you do. But also, same thing, livability, affordability, design, and supporting the community.
I'm Eric Hanneman. I've been a resident for 11 years, and my vested interest is I'm the Newport Farmers Market Manager, and so we want to make sure that we don't come out without a site after this.
Yeah. I'm Jim Patrick. I'm a previous Planning Commission chair, also a contractor, and I live in this next to this district. I was also partly responsible for hiring Derek, but that's another story. What I want to get out of this plan is pick something. I've watched this stuff for 15, 20 years, and we haven't gotten anywhere. And I just like us to pick the best plan and then make it work.
My name is Bob Herman. I'm a current member of the Planning Commission, and representing that commission here on the committee. I was also a member of the Transportation System Plan Advisory Committee, and this is just a natural follow-on, a particular interest in the traffic issues downtown and the unsightliness that we're currently seeing. And I'd love to see a long-range 20-year plan for really making Newport, making the center of Newport much more appealing and attractive and livable.
I'm Ralph Breitenstein. I'm on the Pacific Communities Health District Board and some of the hospital boards. And I was on the TSP also to looking at traffic. And my interests are to improve traffic flow and also pretty much what he said, to improve maybe some of the areas that aren't quite as pretty in town, on 9th Street and 101. If we can bring that all together, I'd be really happy.
I'm Cynthia Jacoby, Newport City Councilor, and I would like to see the area under consideration be a real attractive downtown place for Newport where people want to go to. So.
My name is Wayne Patterson. I'm a director for the Chamber, and I'm here representing the businesses in the community. And Spencer, our city manager, asked, we've been in a lot of conversations about different locations for businesses, what's happening with them, traffic flow, and he suggested that I volunteer. So I'm here.
I'm Robert Eamon, city council also. As a resident and a counselor, I agree with everything that everyone said. Livability, functionality, beautification, those are all important things. So that's really just wanting to better the community. That's what my goals are.
I'm Jack Weber, member of the community. I live in the district being discussed. I think I'm in agreement with everything that's been said already. I'd like to see a focus on safety and infrastructure improvements in the area. It would be great if safe crosswalks could be addressed. I also am interested in seeing mixed-use development in the area and a great sort of a lifestyle center of living development.
I'm Dustin Capri. I'm an architect here in Newport. I actually live close to the hospital, so close to the area. I think I'm most excited there's an opportunity here. This is an area where a lot of people visiting, and then those of us who live here experience daily, right? Just moving back and forth. And right now, a lot of the buildings and the infrastructure are light. And I think we have an interesting opportunity here to set up a framework. And that framework's going to eventually lead to, you know, private development opportunities there too. So that's probably my most, what I'm most excited about this opportunity is really getting that framework set and then seeing what happens privately within that framework that the city of Newport can impact. So that's why I'm here.
Fantastic. We have at least a couple committee members online. Could you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Hi, I am Judith Jones. I am the priest at St. Stephen Episcopal Church, which is right in the middle of this district. I am interested in making sure that the traffic issues are addressed, for one thing, because my church members typically have to cross the street diagonally to the city parking lot across there to park. We have a very tiny parking lot. Also, our church owns property adjacent to our church that we are interested in redeveloping in conjunction with this project in some way. And I'm very interested in the question of having enough housing in Newport and also revitalizing that whole area because it is pretty run down.
There. My name is Brent Estes, and I'm the North Coast Regional Representative for the Department of Land, Conservation, and Development. And I was happy that Derek asked me to join this group. My agency has an office behind the Pig and Pancake in Newport, and so I serve the area from Lincoln County up to Clatsop County. And when I'm down in that area, I get to office in that area. But I'm really a technical resource to be able to be provide any connections with any issues from the state side of things and from the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And glad to.
I think Brett's done. Let's be driving through a blind spot. All right, how about we have the rest of the folks here, and if you're part of the design team, if you could just kind of share with the group your role.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Brandy Steffen with I'm part of the team, and I'll be helping with public involvement, so reaching out to the larger community to try to get information that will help you all and help you hopefully understand what we're hearing from the rest of the community. So that's what I'll be doing.
Hi, my name is David Bunker. I'm an urban designer and planner. I'm working with Earthworks, and we'll be working on development of some of the code options as well as some of the conceptual design ideas.
I'm Emily Pica. I'm with Echo Northwest. We're talking with you all about market analysis, the land use alternatives, and then the implementation strategy, including hopefully some early wins that you might see in the next several years.
Yeah. And I'm Nicole Underwood, and I'm with Echo Northwest as well. So I'll be working with Emily on what she just talked to you about.
I'm James Feldman. I'm not directly on the team, but I'm with ODOT as a planner, and I was the project manager from the ODOT side on the transportation system plan, and I recognize some familiar faces, so hello. But I'll be behind the scenes with David if you have anything else coming up.
Hey, Gary.
Oh, Gary Lehman. I'm a chair of the County Public Health Advisory Committee, and we're particularly interested in walkability issues in the downtown area.
Thank you.
My name is Anna Ialkea. I'm the Urban Renewal Project Manager for the city. So this is this project is happening within the Northside Urban Renewal District. So I'll be involved throughout this project through implementation.
And my name's Kathy Rigby. I'm new to Newport, but I work for the city as a grant manager, and I'll be involved later with some of the outcomes that you all decide.
I'm Carol Schenk. I live nearby, and I'm just interested in this meeting, so I'm a public participant.
Fantastic. And Sherry Marino, she's a member of our community development department. She'll be staffing these types of meetings. Okay, Jim. Next up, we have the project overview. I've got it teed up here. I'm going to go ahead and put it on the screen for the benefit of those that are online, and then I can just hit the buttons every time you tell me.
Sounds great. Thanks, Derek. Let's just roll into these. We prepared a few slides as a initial introduction to the project, and we want to leave time for your initial questions, but we'll be working with you a lot over the coming year. So, City Center Redevelopment Plan, the team, David Evans, Herbs Works, Eco Northwest, and JLA Public Involvement in partnership with the state, DLCD. So, advance the slide, Derek. Everybody hear me okay? Great. Well, I'm just gonna, there we go. Agenda, people, purpose, place, process. Just wanna introduce all of that to you, and thanks for all of those introductions. It's really great to hear who's in the room, and great representation. Thanks for your time and commitment to this project. We'll cover the purpose, we'll talk about the place and the process. The team, we've already reviewed, but experts in project management, land use, transportation, integration, public involvement, urban design, amending codes and comprehensive policies, and looking at market and real estate forces. So that's what we hope to bring to this conversation with you and develop the right plan for you through the process. Next slide is a listing of the committee members. So thanks for your introductions. And then from our scope of work, this is just a summary. All the gory details are in the handouts that Derek's provided, but briefly, develop land use policies, regulations, financial incentives to support reinvestment in Newport's city center, which I think aligns with everything we heard you just say about your hopes for this project. Identify transportation solutions that complement proposed land use policies to promote mixed-use development, to create a live-work environment where residents have convenient access to employment and essential services. So that's taken from our scope, and there's a lot there. And we want to, over time, kind of expand upon that with criteria so that we can evaluate these alternatives that have already begun with the TSP, you know, couple it, not to couple it, etc. There it is in words, summarized, but you'll be seeing that expanded as we do our work. This is also pulled directly from the scope of work and the background. Derek, do you want to cover this slide just kind of briefly? How did we get here?
Sure. In 2011, 2012, we did what we call an economic impact analysis. We were doing looking at the condition of our commercial industrial properties citywide, but with a focus on the city center area, because it's not lost on city policymakers that the city center area, and when we talk about that, we're talking about US 101, but also parts of US 20, has been economically distressed for some time. And there's a direct corollary, frankly, with the increased traffic volumes on 101 and the deterioration of the economic conditions in this district. And so, but we did that economic analysis to document that, to show with specific data that, you know, this is a distressed area that has opportunities for redevelopment, but that the transportation system really isn't working well with the land use pattern around it and the land use codes around it. And so one of the key recommendations out of that analysis was that we should look at creating an urban renewal district to generate tax increment to fund some significant changes to the infrastructure in this area to better support and help revitalize the city center area. And so for several years, we worked through a feasibility study to kind of determine exactly what the size shape of that urban renewal district should be, worked with the affected taxing entities, because if you're familiar with urban renewal is not a new tax. It's basically the taxing entities, the county, the city, the hospital district, and others agree to give up the increment they would otherwise collect, gets redirected to urban renewal for these types of investments, with the expectation that those investments will, at the end of the day, lead to a much, you know, more economically strong and you know, better quality of life in that area that then has a stronger tax base. And so those taxing entities are going to be better off than they otherwise would have been had they not made that investment. And so we went through that, got the feasibility study done, worked through a range of different projects that are described in concept in that urban renewal plan, and the taxing entities were on board. The plan was put in place in 2015. It's been generating a significant increment and will be in place through early 2040. And we expect that over the entire life of the plan, we're talking about $40 million thereabouts. So it's not a small amount of money, but the types of improvements we're talking about aren't cheap either. And the expectation is that when we complete this plan and there's going to be some specific project components to it, that we would then start working on cobbling together financing plans for various projects, and some of which are going to require some time because you're pulling urban renewal funds, matching them up with state and federal funds to do much, you know, to stretch those dollars and do much bigger projects. So then we did the transportation system plan on the north side, which we had already done one for the South Beach area, but we hadn't updated the city's transportation system plan for the north side since the mid-90s. And so that took a few years to get done. The transportation system plan at a local level is one where we're looking at all modes of transportation. So we're not looking at just vehicle traffic, but we're looking at cycling, we're looking at pedestrian needs. We're looking at transit, we're looking at freight. So we're looking at all of those different components. And that transportation system plan included a very hard look at the city center area. And there were some specific policy objectives that our council had and that we'd heard from the community is very important, is we want to be able to get a good mixed-use environment in our commercial core area. We would like to get housing in here in a meaningful way, which would be multifamily. So you're looking at residential over first floor commercial office space. What do we need to do in terms of the streetscape and with our infrastructure to create conditions that are conducive to that type of development? We looked at various alternatives, and the transportation system plan in the city center area stopped at two different alternatives for what could be done there. One is a short couplet. Another is maintain, which, well, short couplet, to explain that for those that aren't familiar with the term, a couplet is when you divide the street so that you have southbound on one leg and northbound on another street, parallel street. The advantages of couplets is you don't have to buy more right-of-way width. If you take two lanes of traffic, you know, say on 101, you take two lanes of traffic off of that and put that northbound on 9th, that's 20 feet that you get to play with in terms of pulling sidewalks out so you have better separation, maintaining parking along the highway in a way that's safe and you're not at fear of your vehicle being damaged every time you get out. Introducing, you know, bike lanes, things of that nature. So that's what that is. And we looked at a couple of different couplet options and a non-couplet option. There was a long couplet that would have branched off of 9th down by the hospital. That was ultimately decided, rejected for a few reasons. One, the hospital is largely they've invested heavily in that area on both sides of 9th Street. And one of the reasons you do a couplet is to help revitalize an area. Well, they're already revitalizing that area. And it's a different development pattern. And so it didn't really make sense, given the level of additional investment, to pursue something like that. So the shorter couplet would branch off of 101 northbound just south of the Armory and would tie back in through the city's parking lot just south of City Hall. And so that's the short couplet option. The maintaining US 101 option would remove the parking off the few blocks that still exist on 101. And that additional gain would then be used to widen out sidewalks there. But the bike lanes would be put on 9th. We have to have a multimodal system, but we can put the bike lanes on a parallel street. That is an option. And so that's what that particular concept looks like. US 20, we don't want to forget about. I mean, that's a significant component of this as well. But US 20, there was a couplet option evaluated there. It was rejected, in large part because of the challenges of bringing them both together at that US 20 101 intersection. It was particularly challenging on 20. The concept there would have been an additional leg of a couplet on Northeast 1st or 2nd. Part of the purposes of couplets, too, and why they were evaluated in the first place, is that they can be a very effective tool, not only in giving you room to modify the streetscape without having to buy a bunch of right-of-way, but it also brings exposure to commercial streets that they're not currently getting that kind of exposure. And so where we ended up ultimately on US 20 in the transportation plan is to maintain US 20 more or less in its current configuration 2A. But eventually the travel lanes are larger than what's required by the state. The center turn lane is wider than what's required by the state. So there's room to widen out those sidewalks on US 20. And there's an opportunity to get a parallel cycling system in on, say, Northeast 1st or 2nd. And there's some opportunities to get more multifamily housing in the areas around the high school and the county commons. And so that was really the focus on the US 20 side of it. Lots of different projects in the transportation system plan that was ultimately wrapped up and adopted in August of 2022. The couplet was controversial. Some folks like it, some folks don't. Some folks have very strong feelings about it. Our council, our council didn't want the whole project to be, the whole transportation system plan with 100 some odd transportation projects being hijacked by this one particular issue. So they said, look, we'll just go with the two options. We don't have to pick one of the two now. We can do this process here, the city center revitalization planning process, where we can work through some of the thorny details that were making those options controversial. Because a transportation plan of that scale with that large number of projects really can't get into the weeds to sort out exactly how does this driveway connection work? Or exactly, you know, some, but those are important pieces for folks to feel good about one solution or the other. And our hope and expectation as part of this process is we can work through those thorny details so there's greater clarity as to which option or approach is the best one for the city to pursue. Okay.
Great. Thanks, Derek. That's really helpful background. Appreciate it. Next slide. So, again, we're just getting rolling here. This is, again, from the consultant team's scope of work. Four primary objectives. We've heard redevelopment to create a vibrant urban center. Number one, explore those couplet options for realigning US 101 through City Center and identify the best option to achieve this vision that you have for US 101. Number two, we want to end up with amendments to the city's comprehensive plan and development code that support that vision and encourage the desired development patterns in this area and really help, you know, Derek manage when development applications come in. Things have been updated to make sure the vision is actually achieved. Number three, identify public investments and incentives to encourage desired development and improve livability. Our friends at ECO on the team, ECO Northwest, are really gonna help us with that piece. And the goal at the end is to bring it to City Council and have this plan adopted. We can't guarantee that outcome, but we sure hope with your help and, you know, paying attention and listening, we'll end up with a plan that doesn't have any surprises and has a lot of support and City Council adopts it. So that's the project and the place. You all know this place really well. We're getting to know it better all the time, such as our walking tour we had this morning with Derek and Cynthia and others. And what a fantastic area. You know, this is the center compass point for the quadrants of Newport, you know, where northwest and southeast and all that is defined. But here's the outline of our study area, the 101 corridor and the Highway 20 piece. So that'll be where we're focusing our attention, but we don't want to forget about what's adjacent to it, those connections between oceanfront and the bayfront. We want to understand how these areas interact and support one another as we're doing our work.
Quick question. Is the study area completely within the Urban Renewal District?
Yes. I believe so. No, I believe so. You know, when you look at this map up here, I'd have to double check some of these little spurs like this, but you're looking at it principally. That's all within the urban rural boundary.
Thank you.
More questions about the boundary while we have the map up, or we can always come back to it.
Yeah, that boundary, just so you know, largely coincides with the boundary of the commercial zoning along 101 and 20. Doesn't extend further into the residential zoned areas. Now, there are residences within this corridor that have been there a long time. Most of them are non-conforming homes, and that's why you see, you know, kind of a mix of old homes, and then you have office space or warehouse space. That's a lot of what you'll see as you go a block or two away from 20 or 101.
Okay, we're to our fourth P word, process. And this is a simplification of our complex process of seven tasks. And you can see how the seven tasks are, you know, spread across the coming year, a little longer than a year. The orange line at the beginning there in May says we are here, and we're really having that kickoff introduction to you today, and we had our site walking tour this morning. We'll be ramping up our outreach efforts immediately following this meeting. We'll start developing the project website and, you know, getting our involvement plan or defined. So in the months ahead, you can see that there's a number of two public events. There's some targeted interviews, and then there's essentially every other month a citizen advisory committee meeting with you. So we'll be coming back, you know, more than a couple of times to check in, give you updates on the work, get your feedback, adjust as we go, so that it's well informed by you and the community at large. There's a variety of memorandums that we have to develop. And simply, there's kind of an analysis phase, memos 1, 2, and 3 or so, where we're going to be looking at existing conditions and the policies, and just make sure we understand the foundational current conditions. And then the second phase is that exploration and understanding of the two alternatives and where there's kind of it's called a gap analysis in the scope of work. You know, what's sort of missing to achieve the vision between where we are today and what we imagine we want to have happen. So that's the second piece. And then the final piece, once we've evaluated those two ideas, is the identification of what's preferred. And it's not done really at that point. There's a lot of developing the strategy around how to get there. So that's a little bit of a sense of the flow of how this year plus is going to go. And you can see how it's distributed across the months. But it's just, I'm a visual person, so this makes more sense to me than kind of a spreadsheet of dates and things, even though in the next few slides you'll see we do have a spreadsheet of dates. So we can keep going.
I have a question for the group, I guess, because we're going to need to schedule in a half a dozen advisory committee meetings. And this is a general schedule of where they'd be landing. And I guess my question, my preference would be not to be polling six times to try to figure this out. I'd like to just kind of land a date and get them on calendars way in advance. Is a time like this work better for folks? Would it work better to schedule this outside of normal work hours? Are there particular days that are problematic? Any information you can share would be helpful.
Friday afternoons are perfectly spot on for me. I can adjust my schedule to anything else that's required, but Fridays
are great. I'm the second that. Friday works really well for me too. No conflicts at all.
Make my schedule work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
I think in general, Friday afternoons are pretty open.
Okay.
For me too.
Friday's my day off.
Oh, excellent. Looking like Friday's really good.
I'll make it happen.
Okay.
Friday's fine as long as it's not past 5 p.m. because I got to go run a
yeah,
bar.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Stay on Summit, right?
Yeah.
It also, it's not beautiful out.
Yeah.
So.
Friday's fine.
Okay. So, like a Friday early afternoon like this is actually a good time frame for
yeah.
It looks. I didn't see anybody. I think everybody made it, either online or in person. So that's
yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, so my plan on scheduling then is I'll send out dates in an email to everybody with some specific times because I'm going to have to check and make sure you know we don't have conflicts with other things,
mm-hmm.
and just send that out and so we can all get them on our calendars well in advance and not have to worry about. You know, doing that each time, so yeah.
There's a some mention in here of virtual meetings versus in person. I believe the next meeting says will be strictly virtual. Is that?
I think that might be for the consultant team that there's a virtual option to participate, but. I imagine there's always going to be an in-person or is
yep.
It? Yeah.
Yeah, our intent is to hold all of the meetings as a hybrid. So we will always be set up. We are planning to set them up here. We might try to give ourselves a little bit more room than we had today. But we'll also always have the virtual option for those members of the committee who just can't make it for whatever reason in person but could participate virtually.
I have a question on the gap analysis.
Yep.
So through that process, if we come up with an option that has the spirit of the intent of the TSP but deviates slightly, is that sort of the intent of the gap analysis? How far can we push beyond what's approved in the TSP?
There's a lot of questions there.
With a very specific
yeah.
Intent in mind.
Yeah. Boy, I don't think I have an easy... quick answer for that just yet, because a lot of this, the process is going to help us kind of clarify and define everything. But my understanding of that step and that, you know, task item is to have two alternatives
mm-hmm.
and have them characterized at a level that when compared against the criteria that everybody here really thinks is the important, you know, guiding principles, like we must have housing or mix of uses, we must have bike and pedestrian improvements, so that when we've been able to clarify that and then look at the alternative, we understand the pros and cons of each, because there will be pros and cons to each. It's not, I sort of, in my experience, you know, there can be one that rises above and everybody says, yay, you know, alternative A is much better than B. Sometimes it's not so clear. It's like, well, alternative A might be better on these measures, and then alternative B is better on other measures, and it forces you to choose your priorities.
I guess between the two options, like what's the level of specificity that we have to get to on exactly where the couplet goes in and out? Is that predetermined because of the TSP?
I guess I can jump in on this one. It's a fair question, Dustin. I think we want to be clear here about a couple things. The transportation system plan, our housing plan, our capital facilities plans for water, wastewater, stormwater, they're all going to inform this process to a degree. And for purposes of transportation, we have spent several years getting that transportation system plan done to and developed to a point where we've identified some specific options. Can they be modified? Yes. Are they likely to be tweaked here and there, whatever, wherever we land? Yes, because the transportation system plan didn't get to the level of detail where you know, you could say, you know, this is the option we want to go with specifically because there were still some open questions, and those open questions are going to probably cause lines to go one way or the other, whether it's a couplet or not.
Yeah.
And so that would involve a further amendment to our transportation plan, which is fine. That's what, when they talk about plan adoption.
It can come out of this process.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping.
But when, I want to emphasize, we are not starting with a blank piece of paper. This is not a, hey, what, you know, whatever anybody thinks, you know, no, it's not. I mean, we've framed it to a point. Now we got to take it, you know, over the finish line so that we can actually move forward with projects.
Okay. Yeah, that helps. Thank you.
Wouldn't you say that the goal is that this committee will get the projects in sort of ready to start shipping? That sort of...
Well, get the projects specifically defined so that we can then take go from there and begin to get the funding together to move forward with them, to begin to engage property owners where we have to obtain right-of-way to make changes, to begin design in certain circumstances. All each of those, you know, are going to be a little bit different in terms of exactly where we start, but you're absolutely right. We want to get to a point where we have a clear set of here are the next steps that we want to move forward with to implement this. And there's money behind this. A lot of these planning efforts in communities, it's a plan, but there's really no clear sense of how you can get from point A to point B resource-wise. We have resources, not enough to do everything, but certainly enough to get things going, and with you know, some work pulling in state and federal money, we can stretch that quite a bit.
Great. Well, we've taken the diagram and clarified some of this first phase of work here, project initiation and outreach. There's a project management team with Derek and myself and a few others, such as David Helton, who will be meeting monthly to make sure the project stays on track. We've already received a ton of data from Derek, and our team's starting to review that and make sure we understand the baseline policy and other conditions. We're having our site visit today, and then we'll summarize what we've heard and get that back to Derek next week. And then the public involvement kind of organization is really what's in our sites next month. Get the involvement plan drafted. Brandy, do you want to jump in or should I keep going?
Sure. I mean, so usually what our public involvement plan entails is we take a look at who lives in the community so that we know who to reach out to and how we can reach out to them. And so we would love any feedback you all want to give us. Because you all are local experts, right? And so you know your neighbors and friends and people who come to your businesses. So, but we have a defined scope that we can do. And so we will outline how are we going to connect with people with these certain events throughout the project. And then we might have some asks for you all about, you know, can you help promote the events? Can you help share information about the project? We'll, you know, develop some materials, help, so we hope that you'd help distribute those. Because really, we want to hear from as many people as we can. We will have a lot of information in English and Spanish. We'll have the website up and running. And we'll be collecting comments at any point in time, but we'll also be having some in-person and some virtual activities that people can get involved with. Anything else, David, or you want to add? So, okay, so we'll pull that all together in a plan and kind of says how we'll actually do it and what we hope to get out of it. And then I'm pretty sure you'll bring it back here.
Would you be planning to use this... basically the city mailing list, utility bills, and actually including something for everybody in Newport? not just the project here.
So I was part of the TSP process as well. And so it was great to be able to put at least a little line in all of your bills saying, hey, check out the surveys for the TSP. We did postcards for that. So hopefully Derek is up for helping coordinate that again. I think the wider we can kind of cast our net, the more people we're likely to hear from. So definitely.
One advantage we have with this project, given where we're at right now, is the city has some additional staff resources that we can apply to outreach that we didn't have as part of the transportation system plan. We have staff that are bilingual who can assist with the preparation and distribution of those materials. We have an individual coming on board who's a public information officer who can really kind of ride herd on social media and things of that. So we'll have some additional staff resources and be able to push out information and solicit feedback in a little bit stronger way than we were able to, I think, with the TSP.
Yeah. And we're not in the midst of COVID,
right,
too.
Right.
So hopefully we can see you all in person more than we did with that project. Any other questions?
Well, we've only got maybe one or two more slides, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives you a sense of the first phase of work, but I think, Derek, you wanted to really highlight the advisory committee meetings. There's six of them.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of here's the agendas of each of those meetings.
Yes. Yeah, no, this is the one piece I kind of worked in when we were kind of collaborating on this, is I wanted to give advisory committee members a good, clear sense of what's going to be covered in each meeting. Some of these may be of more importance to you than others, but it gives you also a sense of how it builds upon itself from meeting to meeting, so that, you know. So our first meeting, our first official meeting will be the next meeting, so you can think of it that way. There'll be a more detailed project overview than what we provided today. The committee will be asked to review a committee charter. That's part of the TGM framework, Transportation Growth Management. I'll try to explain that when I'm using planning lingo. But Transportation Growth Management is the program that's providing a substantial amount of the project funding. It's a collaboration between the Oregon Department of Transportation and Department of Land Conservation and Development. So there'll be a committee charter, about how, kind of set sideboards about how we should be communicating with one another, things of that nature that we'll be reviewing. We'll review and refine the plan goals, objectives, and the project evaluation criteria. That's going to be important. So these are the criteria we're looking at. We were talking about, getting housing into the commercial core area. You'll see some criteria around that. So that's going to kind of set the bar for how we evaluate different solutions. So it's going to be important for when you look at that, do we have these criteria dialed in right? Because depending on what those criteria are, they spit out different, in solutions. You want to achieve, certain things, then certain solutions are better at that than others. And so you want to look at that in a critical eye. You'll have an opportunity to rank the relative importance of the different goals and objectives. We'll have a chance to talk about, we built into the budget some funds for targeted outreach interviews. These could be with, say, we were talking today in the walk around. We might want to use a few of them for specific interviews with developers who do mixed use development. What's been working well for them, what hasn't. So to help inform, what approaches might we want to take that's going to improve our chances of seeing that type of development. And so that's the kind of thing. So we'll have a chance to talk about who do we want to make sure we reach out to with these targeted one-on-one interviews and get that information and bring it back to the group so that you have that as to think about. Second meeting is going to get into a review of existing conditions, so both physical and socioeconomic. So we'll be talking about how many, what's the range and relative condition of buildings within that, there, but also, you know, the socioeconomic aspects of the area. Overview of real estate market conditions and trends, an identification of assets, barriers, and opportunities. And I suspect that's going to be a significant piece of discussion amongst the group here at that meeting. The third will be the review of the gap analysis. You know, as Jill was saying, that gap between the likely future development and goals and vision, strategies for addressing the gap, and then also we'll want to spend some time at that third meeting reviewing with you and making sure we are dialed up appropriately for the first public event. We'll have two public events as part of this, so that'll be event one. Advisory committee members, we will be encouraging you to attend the public events, the two events. You don't have to, but you're certainly welcome to. We really would like you to be there. I think it's helpful. Always want to draw in as many people as possible. We'll be running things both. We'll have in-person event, and we'll also have virtual event. And because not everybody can make an in-person opportunity, we want to make sure that there's, you know, a 2 or 3 week period where people can, you know, provide their feedback on an online survey or whatever. So we'll be doing both. The fourth meeting will be reviewing the results of the first public event. And then we're going to begin to get into plan and code amendments, investments, and incentives needed to address the gaps. The fifth meeting is going to be where you're going to see the code and plan review and investment incentive pieces in more detail, with options that we'll either continue with or some which will fall away. So that's where you're going to, because we, you know, the way as I understand you guys are going to frame it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is, you know, we have enough resources to do the full detailed plan and code amendments, but that takes a lot of time. And so we want to make sure that we only do that on the concepts everybody's comfortable with. So we're going to frame them in more general terms to make sure that, okay, the group's comfortable with these particular options, and then those are the ones that will get drilled down into specific code language, which is what the last meeting would be.
Yeah, I'll just jump in on that one point. And David, if you have thoughts, also jump in. But when it comes to amending your code, you know, there's a lot of really detailed pieces to that. And for most people who aren't code experts, it's a lot to wrap your head around. So the way we've organized the process is to make sure there's kind of the concepts about the code that we're going to work with you and make sure people kind of come along with us about, here's what we're seeing we might do. And if there's support for those mm-hmm. concepts, then it's going to give us as a team a lot more certainty about how to move forward. Because if we came with you with like specific detailed proposals, in our experience, it tends to kind of overwhelm advisory committees. They're just like, I'm not really, you know, this is not my thing. You're, you know, it's like asking your brain surgeon, how do you, you know, attach a vein to a something? You know, it's like, I totally don't get it. So, but with this conceptual step, mm-hmm. We've seen that it's really helpful. People start to understand, oh, okay, we get it. If you do those things, we think this will be good. And that's all. Just wanted to clarify that it's kind of a stepping you through so that at the end, when we have these very detailed recommendations about strike this out and add that, it's, you know, you're not finding yourselves going, now, why are we doing this? you've sort of seen the path to that.
So I think that's we pretty much covered the kind of the next steps with that previous slide. Did anybody have any questions at this point? This all seem reasonable.
The $40 million doesn't include like matching opportunities, right?
So, no.
You know, 20 years down the road, ODOT has a plan for US 101, and then there's partnering opportunities where you can use that urban renewal money with other partners.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, we've had pretty good luck. The city of Newport has been engaged with the the county and other taxing entities on urban renewal for decades. I think it started in the early 70s. We've had plans that have really led to a lot of wonderful investment, Nye Beach, Bayfront, other areas. Those plans have shut down, new plans have come about. And every time it's some projects by their nature where there's not other funding opportunities, you have to pay for that fully with urban renewal. But a number of projects, particularly those within highway rights-of-way involving like a 101 or a 20, there are quite a bit of resources out there that we can tap into so that urban renewal is only paying for maybe half the project or even less. And so each one's different, but we do work very hard to stretch those dollars. Okay, we're doing wonderful on time because we have just one last item, which was the committee electing a chair and a vice chair. And the committee chair and vice chair role, but don't all jump up and is to walk through the agenda. Turn things over to consultants or staff where appropriate. And guide us along to make sure that you know we're getting through the materials in the allotted time and we're covering what we need to cover and we make sure to reserve time for things like public comment. Any volunteers for a chair, vice chair?
Well, Dustin's sitting right there by you.
Not a good idea too.
I'll second that.
You good?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay, and then.
As vice chair is one, you don't miss it? Come on.
I'll vice chair.
Okay, there we go.
I was going to suggest Jim anyway, so.
So how about we go ahead and do this? Let's go ahead and do a formal motion on this. Entertain a motion to elect Dustin Capri as chair and Jim Patrick as vice chair of the committee.
I'll move.
Has been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Moved by Ralph. Seconded by Bob. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none. That piece has been. So I would say one thing with the chairs. The chairs are who I will often, if I just need to talk to one person on the committee to vet an issue about something about how we're approaching an upcoming committee meeting, I'll be reaching out to the chair and vice chair on that particular aspect of it. So we have just a couple minutes for public comment. If we had anybody who wanted to share anything. Our public. I do expect, and we will want to reserve a little bit more time in future meeting agendas. The future meeting agendas will be a little bit longer, and we'll want to reserve some time for public comment because I do expect that we're going to be receiving a fair bit of that as we move along and options become clear. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
All right.
I don't think so.